Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. And good morning to you. Many people know how to make money, but maintaining and protecting that wealth, well, that's another totally different story.
1 Timothy 6, verse 9 in the Classic Amplified Bible. But those who are not financially ethical and crave to get rich with a compulsive, greedy longing for wealth fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction, leading to personal misery.
Here are 7 keys to protecting what you've got, regardless of how much that is. Number 1, don't chase money. Chase God, and money will find you. When it comes to money, 1 Timothy 6:10 is one, well, it's one of the most misquoted and misunderstood scriptures in the Bible. Some people quote the verse incorrectly by saying that money is the root of all evil. That's not what the verse says. Listen to it again.
First Timothy 6, verse 10, Classic Amplified Bible. For the love of money, that is the greedy desire for it and the willingness to gain it unethically, is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves through and through with many sorrows.
It's the love of money that is the root of all sorts of evil. Here's another revelation. You don't have to have money to love it. The love of money is, as found in 1 Timothy 6:10, is a Greek phrase, G5365, and it means love of money, avarice. Interestingly enough, the root word is G5366, and it means covetous. There is one undisputable fact about money, and that is it will not be ignored regardless of how you view it. We must deal with money every day. So it's important to understand what money will and will not do. Money does not have an agenda or a character, but it takes on those qualities of its owner. Money magnifies the thoughts and intentions of the heart of the one who has it. Money is for movement. With money, you're able to bless those around you, including your own family. But here's the bottom line. Don't chase money. Chase God. Then the money will chase you. Number 2, focusing on righteous thoughts determines your destiny. Let me say that again. Focusing on righteous thoughts determines your destiny. Powerful truth found in 1 Peter 2:24.
1 Peter 2, verse 24 says, Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
The key to this verse in life, truthfully, is 4 words, should live unto righteousness. I looked up the word righteousness in Strong's Concordance and found it's the Greek word G1343, and it means, in a broad sense, state of him who is as he ought to be, righteousness, the condition acceptable to God, integrity, virtue, purity, purity of life, rightness. Now listen to this. Correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. That's when I saw righteousness is the state of him who is as he ought to be. How ought we to be? We ought to be dead to sin. So we can have correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. Sin is what keeps us from thinking right, feeling right, acting right, and living right. poverty and lack are the devil's anointing. And he wants to keep us from thinking, feeling, acting, and living right when it comes to money. When we live unto righteousness, we will not steal, cheat, defraud, or covet what another person has. Instead, we need to pursue the true wealth, the Word of God. Third, godliness is more than a Sunday school topic. It has benefits. Godliness in the Strong's Concordance is the Greek word G2150. And it means reverence, respect. The same Greek word for godliness is also found in 1 Timothy 4:8.
1 Timothy 4 verse 8 says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of that life that now is, and of that life which is to come."
Notice this verse says, "Have the promise of the life that now is, and that which is to come." Our Heavenly Father is concerned about the life that now is. That means what you're facing today, right now.
The New Living Translation of 1 Timothy 4, verse 8 puts it this way. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life and in the life to come.
When we reverence and respect the Lord, then he promises us benefits. Number four, patience puts God on our side. The only way we can gain and maintain lasting success is with patience. Joyce Meyer, the author and noted speaker, said, "Patience is not simply the ability to wait. It's how we behave while we're waiting." Great quote. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:23. Further, 2 Corinthians 6:6 in the New Living Translation says,
"We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love." There's no question that God wants us to learn, develop, and be strengthened by patience. Colossians 1, verse 11 in the New Living Translation says, "We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy."
Patience always allows us to finish before we start. Number five, being humble, or humble if you will, puts God on your side. Some people can't maintain wealth because their pride gets in the way. Do we want God opposing us in every step we take? Of course we don't.
James 4, verse 6 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "But he gives us more and more grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and live an obedient life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for our salvation. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud and haughty, but continually gives the gift of grace to the humble who turn away from self-righteousness." The word says God opposes the proud, but gives his favor to the humble. Proverbs 3, verse 34, in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "Though he scoffs at the scoffers and scorns the scorners, yet he gives his grace, his undeserved favor, to the humble, those who give up self-importance." God favors the humble.
Number six, beware of haughtiness. In other words, don't get the big head. Haughtiness, unfortunately, accompanies the acquisition sometimes of wealth. It's a false sense of who you are and how you got where you are. Dictionary.com defines haughtiness as disdainfully proud, snobbish, scornfully arrogant. A haughty person wants to be driving in the newer car with the latest toys, live in the biggest house, wear the latest and most expensive wardrobe, and boast of doing things and going places others don't and or can't afford. Haughtiness will cause people to spend money they don't have on things they don't need to impress people who them off. A haughty person will generally have overinflated and a false sense of pride in a big head. How does God view this? Proverbs 16:18 in the New Living Translation. Pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. A haughty person should enjoy their wealth now, because that happiness will be short-lived. Number 7, when you decide to do something, do it. There are 4 keys to success in wealth acquisition. First, determination. Psalm 119:30, New Living Translation. I have chosen to be faithful. I have determined to live by your regulations. When we determine to live by the word, success and wealth will follow.
Second, mobilization. The ability to mobilize allows us to focus our strength, concentrate our effort while activating our plan for success and wealth accumulation. As we mobilize, activate our plans, we'll be able to face opposition without worry, because 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, "For a door has opened up to me that is huge and monumentous, yet there are many opponents."
Third, motivation. Proverbs 16:10, the Message Bible. A good leader motivates, doesn't mislead, doesn't exploit. The best way to motivate is by example. Exodus 18:20, Message Bible. Your job is to teach them the rules and instructions, to show them how to live and what to do.
Fourth, momentum. I define momentum as when your deeds follow your words. Matthew 5:37 in the Classic Amplified says, "But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Affirm yes or no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one." Momentum is created and maintained with a firm yes, I will.
The best way to protect what you have, we have, regardless of how small or large, is by using the wisdom of the word. The results, frankly, are going to be far greater than any natural strategies. That's how you protect what you've got. And always remember 2 things. 1, what you've got, the money you've got, the valuables, possessions, it's not yours. It belongs to God. You're just a steward. Be effective, an effective steward for our Lord. Go to HaroldHaring.com. Check out this week's 2-minute video. While you're there, up at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.